Details are still murky, but it's being widely reported, of course, that Michael Jackson will be buried this morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time in Los Angeles at the famous Forest Lawn Cemetery, not as he had apparently wished, at his Neverland Ranch. Well, joining us now to talk about the ethics of burial and whether we should defer to the dead when it comes to disposing of their mortal remains is Randy Cohen. He's the ethicist columnist for the New York Times and author of the Moral of the Story blog. Randy.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
So, Randy, this notion that we do everything possible to honor the wishes of the dead out of respect for them, as we always say, well, it's what they would have wanted. That's what we always say when we try to honor the wishes of the dead. That might not be happening here.
And rightly so, I think. Although the first obstacle is just one of permits. If he wished to be buried at the ranch, there's a problem with permits that might take a while to sort out. But there were reports that many family members objected to this idea. So whose wishes do you adhere to? And I think you certainly consider the desires of the dead, but you don't defer to them. I think they're beyond caring what happens to them.
They're beyond caring what happens to them, and so burials and disposition of the dead is really for the living, in your view.
Death is for the living, yes. That the physical presence of the dead is very, very meaningful for the living. Simply to grasp the idea that death has occurred is a very challenging task. I think that's one reason Lincoln's body was taken by train through 180 cities from Washington to Springfield and removed at stop after stop so mourning Americans could see it for themselves. It's why soldiers are determined to restore the remains of their fallen comrades, even when it took place when death occurred years and years ago, as in Vietnam now, that life seems somehow suspended unless we're in the presence of the dead.
So why this attachment, do you think? We always say it's what grandma would have wanted. We have to do this because it's what they would have wanted. Sometimes that's associated with burial. Of course, it's probably also associated with a lot of other things in our lives that we pressure ourselves and others to do in the name of the dead.
Should you remarry or should you not remarry? You're guided by your connection to someone you really loved and whose opinion you really care about.
Well, Randy, I mean, speaking of people's opinions who I care about, I have stipulated in my will that I am to be buried in a terrarium in your living room. So
Go. I'm happy to have you. You know, I've cleared the spot for it. I'd stipulated in my will that I'm to be put out in a hefty bag on recycling day. That I'm not a religious guy, but I do respect the recycling laws. But I think we're both wrong, John. I think it doesn't so much matter what we want. We're gone. We don't get a vote in it. I think our bodies will be important to those left behind. And if we care about them, they get to decide.
So, Randy, what do you see in the different burial traditions? You talked about in your blog a little bit different traditions ranging from Jewish traditions of simple coffins with holes drilled in them for the Orthodox to Zoroastrians who invite vultures to come and consume the body. What do you make of the different popular traditions in treatment of dead and what they say about people?
Well, one of the interesting things about it is that every religion has rules for what we do with the dead, but they're often contradictory. Some religions allow embalming. Islam bars it. Some favor cremation. Some forbid it. And that we often look to religion to solve these kind of profound questions. But here we see
not exclusively. I mean, there may be some vultures at the Michael Jackson affair.
You keep your cracks about the William Morris Agency to yourself, sir. When we look to religion, we're hoping that it will refer to profound, fundamental moral principles that can help us guide our actions. But you don't get that with bodies. Here, each contradicts the other. So I'm not sure how useful that is for people. And you know, the Parsi are facing there's a big vulture shortage in India. The Parsi are Zoroastrians that live in India, and there are about 400,000 of them. And they believe the physical presence of death, whether you bury a body or burn it, taints the purity of the mortal world, and so they leave it to vultures to consume it. But because India is expanding so rapidly, vulture habitats are threatened, and the Parsi don't have enough vultures now.
All right, so human death is a pressure on the vulture community as well.
I'm just wondering if the New York Times is reporting this morning that the body vetoes the spirit. I mean, that's what you've taken that position now twice. Is that what the Times is going with now?
Well, I wish the Times consulted me on its positions. I speak only for myself, not for the paper. But it's true. I take a resolutely secular approach to ethics in the column. The spirit gets very little claims in my work, yes.
All right, Randy, just to bring it back to Michael Jackson real quick before we go, a man with so many tens of hundreds of millions of fans is dead, and we're talking about disposition of remains. Is there any balance between wishes of the family versus wishes of the performer versus wishes of the world at large who cared so much about him?
Yeah, everybody has a claim here, and that's one of the ways in which a cemetery so often serves everybody's needs. I mean, the great cemeteries of the world, by which I mean the ones where all the great are buried, you know, Highgate Cemetery near London, where Karl Marx is buried, or our own Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn, which has, you know, Boss Tweed and Margaret Sanger. People, both family members and just people that are moved by the great can visit these places and commune with the dead, and that seems a genuinely meaningful human experience that can reconcile all the conflicting desires.
All right, Randy Cohen, the ethicist from the New York Times Magazine, author of the Moral Story blog. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.